Our second lesson today is a very familiar story from Luke chapter 15. It's the story of the lost son, verses 1 to 3 and then 11 to 32. One day, many tax collectors and outcasts came to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling, "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There once was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, "Father, give me my share of the property or his inheritance now." So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away and wasted his money in reckless living. He spent everything he had. There was a severe famine spread over that country, and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last he came to his senses and said, "All my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way off from home when his father saw him, and his heart was filled with compassion, and he ran, threw his arms around his son, and kissed him. "Father," the son said, "I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son." But the father called his servants. "Hurry," he said, "bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found." And so the feasting began. In the meantime, the older son was out in the field. And on his way back, when he came close to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come back home," the servant answered, "and your father has killed the prize calf because he got him back safe and sound." The older brother was so angry he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. But he spoke back to his father, "Look, all these years I have worked like a slave, and I have never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me? Not even a goat for me to have a feast with my friends. But this son of yours wasted all your property on prostitutes, and when he comes back home, you kill the prize calf for him." "My son," the father answered, "you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy, because your brother was dead and now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found." Thanks be to God for these words.
The bread is past the cup.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever experienced a sense of mystery, wonder, or awe in your life? Anyone ever experienced this? Thank you. Something that happened, something you saw, something someone did, and you just went, wow, that's amazing. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is God in the End, which is the final chapter of the book that we have been following. I want to thank you for coming here on Palm Sunday and this celebration of baptism. It's wonderful that you're here today. Today, we'll take some time to ponder some of the mystery, wonder, and awe that we experience in life, and how that story of the lost son or the two sons that we read this morning might give us a better window into that same mystery, wonder, and awe. Now, we're going to start with our question this morning. If you haven't been to Appleby before, you need to know that I usually ask a question that you talk about with the person beside you. And part of the reason for that is getting practice to talk to neighbors and peoples that you meet in coffee shops, at work, about the more important things of life, the bigger things. So the question for you today is, when have you experienced a sense of mystery, wonder, or awe in your life? You got it? When have you experienced a sense of mystery, wonder, or awe in your life? Try and find a person you usually don't talk to. Say hello to yourself and share your story. Go.
Thank you.
stop. Thank you. That is a very big and important question, so feel free to talk about it at coffee time, on your ride home, or during the coming week. Does anyone want to share briefly what your experience of mystery, wonder, and awe was? Birth of a child. Thank you very much. Anything else? It was a comet. I don't know which one. Hale Bob comet. Okay, thank you. Anything else? Mount St. Helen, 5 years after it erupted. Thank you very much. Anyone else? What was that? And you're still here? You are a very brave man. Thank you. Snorkeling with the sharks. Absolutely wonderful. Now, the reason I didn't share some of mine this morning is because I assumed that you were going to cover some of those, and certainly the birth of a child, and actually holding a young child and walking down the congregation and watching, listening to the hush, you know, as people take that in. Holding Alex when he was very young. But also when he was very young, I know that all of you as parents, you know, were very patient and had it all together. Well, I didn't always have it all together. And I remember one day yelling at Alex, you know, and, you know, of course you felt terrible afterwards. And, you know, I'm kind of figuring he'd never want to talk to me again, right? Well, you know, and a few hours later, do you know what he said? You know, he comes up and says, "Daddy, will you play?" You know? So that sense of being forgiven. And then creation. I always hugely find a sense of God in creation. The mist rolling off the lakes in northern Ontario as you go out to fish with your dad and hearing the loons cry in the background. And I love looking up at the stars at night. And I didn't do a good job, you know, cueing the AV person, because he was going to show you a picture of, for the small baby, none other than Jordan, you know, which is awesome. And then, obviously, the stars at night. You know, looking up at creation. Now, one of the reasons we have usually have a time of reflection in our service of worship each week is that hopefully, by doing it in worship, we get into a pattern of having a time of reflection in our life. Whether it's at the home, office, driving to work, coffee shop. And the reason I think that's important, so we might better see the mystery, wonder, and awe, I call of God, in our lives on a regular basis. Now, human speculation, whether it's scientific or religious, does the best it can to understand this mystery, wonder, and awe. How many of you have heard of the Big Bang Theory? I don't mean the TV program. You know, the science, thank you. How about, you know, the Big Freeze or the Big Crunch? You know, how the world ends. The Bible, on the other hand, goes from the Big Bang to a big celebration. Now, how many of you remember sitting through those wonderful science classes at school? Do you remember? You were overjoyed, right? Learning a little bit about science, biology, astronomy. Science plays a huge part in our day-to-day lives, even if we don't understand it. You know, the medicine we take, the cars we drive, when we turn the lights on, all science. A big part of science, though, is posing questions and looking for possible answers. How did the universe begin? The Big Bang Theory. How will the universe end? The Big Freeze, when the star eventually burns out. Or the Big Crunch, when the universe collapses in on itself. What was photographed for the first time this week in outer space? Did you get a black hole? Thank you very much. And from my limited knowledge, I believe a black hole is a miniature version of the Big Crunch theory, when everything collapses in on itself. All I know is that when I experience some of that same mystery, wonder, and awe in my life, walking a child down the aisle, remembering holding Alex in my hands when he was young, looking up at the stars at night, I have a sense that there's more in the world than just me. And that the mystery, wonder, and awe I experience in my life begs me to ask bigger questions. What is life all about? What can give meaning and purpose to my life? Can I make a difference in the world, or am I just one more piece of cosmic dust as I look up at the stars? And to answer those questions, I believe religion and the soft sciences, psychology, sociology, philosophy, might be better guides than the hard sciences. From the book of Revelation, Genesis at the beginning of the Bible, to the book of Revelation at the end, we find the story of an infant universe which is born an infant humanity that grows, comes of age, makes mistakes, learns lessons, and finally reaches maturity. Does that life cycle sound at all familiar as we baptize Jordan today, a young child? Kind of a life cycle we all go through. And as the coming of age stories we read about in the world, the biblical narrative also points to a wedding at the end, a big celebration where a bride is presented to a bridegroom. Now, I've wondered if there's another story to help flesh out this big celebration. And then I wondered, and so did Brian, about the one we read today, about the lost son or the two sons, which I think it would be better known. A story that Jesus told. Now, is anybody here from a perfect family? Just checking. Oh, I got a hand up there. That's awesome. I love that. That's wonderful. Has anyone ever had a disagreement or an argument with your parents or your spouse? Oops, I meant siblings. Has anyone been able to sort it all out yet? No? Drats, I wanted to talk to you after this service. Does anyone long to be held in an embrace of a father, mother, sibling, estranged sibling, son, daughter, especially if you haven't worked it all out yet? An embrace that will not let you go. Welcome to that story of the two brothers. But also welcome to a story that Jesus told that gives us a window into the heart of God. Where one son or daughter messes up big time, squanders the family money, hits rock bottom, and when she or he hit rock bottom, has no place to go, so where does he or she turn? Home. Starts thinking about home. Even my father's hired hands have more than enough to eat, and here I am about to starve. So there is a father or mother waiting on the front porch, looking down, you know, the laneway, possibly seeing the sun set, every night waiting, hoping for a lost child to come home. Do you remember what happens next in this story? Father embraces him. Thank you very much. Before that happens, what happens? He sees him. Thank you. And then what does he do? Thank you. Doesn't walk. He runs to go and meet him. And you need to know, an ancient world, father would never run to go and meet a son. The son's job was to walk up and meet the father. A sense of respect, authority, tradition. But this father lets it all go and runs to the end of the driveway and gives him a huge what? Huge hug, a huge embrace. Does he say, "I told you"? Thank you. No. He doesn't say, "I told you so." He doesn't lecture him. He's not angry at him. He gives him a huge embrace. I imagine tears running down his eyes. "I'm so happy that you're home." And then what does he do? Do you remember? Thank you. Robe, shoes, what else? Kills the fatted calf and does what? Throws a party. Thank you. And we're having a little party afterwards. Don't forget the cake. Okay? Throws a huge party for this son. And you may have noticed when I was reading, I don't like how one Greek word is translated. It's translated in this Bible as pity. When you think of pity, what do you think of? When you hear the word pity, what do you think of? Anybody? Is it a positive word? No, exactly. It's a negative word. I often think of someone who looks down on someone. Pity. When you hear compassion, does it have a different flavor? Yes, absolutely. And many people have pointed out that word is better translated as compassion. Now the older brother, what happens with the older brother? Thank you. He gets jealous. He gets angry. He's a little ticked. How would you feel? Would you be angry, a little ticked? Probably. Yeah, maybe. Now, part of the reason for that party is to restore the brother's relationship to the community, to neighbors, and old friends. Think of all the awkward transactions that would happen as he started going around the community again to take about his business. The father takes away some of that awkwardness by having this party for him. Do we know in the end if the older brother comes in? No, we don't. It's an open-ended story. Last week, when we talked about the book of Revelation, we asked a big question. When God created the world, did God create a closed system, like a movie that's been shot and we're just watching it run out? Or did God create an open system where God invites us to be a co-creator to make a better world with an open ending? So here we have an open ending. In the end, I firmly believe we will all be reunited with God and held in an embrace that we have desired all our lives. But if you desire that same reconciliation, that same embrace on this side of the divide called death, one has to undertake the hard work that relationships entail. Hard work that often involves taking times of reflection. You know, what's going on here? Why did I react like that? And learning to be able to say what? I'm sorry. Absolutely. And that's why we mirror that in our services of worship. And we need to do that whether we're dealing with individuals or whether different races and cultures when they deal with individuals, with others. Human speculation. It's like a little boat. When you were a young kid, did you ever send some bark out on the big lake? You know, see what would happen with it? Human speculation, like a little boat that ventures on the surface of a deep, deep ocean, under a vast, fathomless sky. Our eyes cannot see beyond the rim. Our ears cannot hear the music beneath the silence. Our hearts cannot imagine the meaning above us, below us, around us, and within us. But the Spirit of God, blow that blows like the wind, through the birth of a newborn child, the night sky that twinkles, the human heart that breaks, When a young child comes and says, "Daddy, will you play with me?" and offers words of forgiveness, dares us to believe in a God whose heart is full of compassion and is big enough to bridge any divide, even death. A mystery that has been spoken of through the ages and is known by many different names. And I need this to try and figure out the pronunciation. The first one in English is God. Wow. The next one in Spanish is Dio. In French, oh, they're all coming up. Okay, it's D-U. Dio, thank you. In Russian, Bog. Bog, thank you. In Mandarin, I think it's Thai and Hu. In Swahili, Moon Gu. In Arabic, Allah. Cherokee, Adoda. Adoda. In Mohawk, in Huron, Ra, Rano. Thank you. Oh, I missed Hebrew. How could I do that? Elohim or Adonai. And the word Adonai was considered so sacred in the Hebrew text, it was eventually no longer written down. So whenever you see the word Lord in big letters, that's Adonai. Okay? Those are the two Hebrew words for God. Many books have been written to describe this mystery. And sadly, there's been many arguments and inquisitions and wars waged over it. But here in the parable of the lost son, and in a different understanding of the book of Revelation we talked about last week, that describes the end as a city with the doors open, welcoming people from all the nations of the world, we get a window into the heart of God. And that the flow of the story reflects God's desire for creation, a desire for reconciliation, healing, wholeness, compassion, not human creeds and constitutions that often divide. So welcome into this story, this incredible story that ends with an embrace. Maybe that is why. Does anyone remember what the first words of the angels are in the Christmas story to Mary, Joseph, the shepherds? Do not be afraid. Maybe that's why the angels, when they come to speak to humanity, often the first words are, do not be afraid. And some of the final words in the parable of the two sons in the book of Revelation is, come. Come, be open to the mystery of life. And discover a love and grace that will not, or an embrace that will not let you go. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is 271. There's a wideness in God's mercy.